gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Here we go.
Because it's Friday.
Here you go.
Nice.
See-through for Friday. Here you go. Mm. All right.
Yeah, you're see-through today.
Yes. Mm, hello. 6 minutes wow. after the hour. Par-tay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Someone brought the hats.
Okay. So speaking of parties, yeah, we put up the pictures from last night.
Yeah.
Mama, partying with Michael Moore and Ron Howard.
Wow.
And, of course, Hot Bree, your favorite. Mm-hmm. Melissa Fitzgerald, friend of the Stephanie Miller Show. Who I made the grave error of being photographed next to again.
But
there are pictures of us walking the green carpet together.
Wow.
It was a green event. It was for United Nations International and Labor Organizations and Green Jobs program.
Very cool.
So Ron Howard says he'll come on and talk to us about that.
Awesome.
Wow. And Michael Moore will come on.
Wow.
And Michael Moore also buttonholed me to do his event he has every year. Guess who just did that?
Who?
John Fugelsang.
Right.
Right.
I was in Traverse City and thinking, this town needs a sexy liberal gig.
Do, 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 do. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I'm just taking my acid for my theme song. Thank
you.
It's like from the Hair outtakes of the Outtakes album. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, yeah. So you hung out with my new BFF, Michael Moore.
I know. He is awesome. I was telling him how great he was. Do you know the last time he went on TV was after the Aurora shooting?
Yep.
And I said, you were so powerful. I don't know where it was, John, but he said, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah.
I'm not going on, you know, because of Bowling for Columbine and how powerful that was.
Yeah.
He said, I'm done with one more TV producer calling me after another one of these tragedies, and I have to say the same thing. It's that's where it's gotten in America, where you don't even have to have the sound up on your TV. You see Carolyn McCarthy, and you go, oh, what's happened somewhere, you know?
It's really true, and every time I hear one of these right-wing gun nuts, and I'm not talking about the overwhelming majority of responsible gun owners who do favor sane legislation, I'm talking about the gun junkies. Every time one of these guys says, oh, there you go, liberals exploiting this tragedy, it's like, no, we're preventing the next tragedy, not exploiting this one.
Yeah, by the way, we have a great, gun myths, top 10 gun myths in Mother Jones. We have the author of that piece coming on today.
Yeah, fantastic.
In about a half an hour. He's awesome. Dave Gilson, right?
That's right.
Anyway, but yeah, it was great to talk to Michael Moore, and he's I remember how walking out of the theater after Bowling for Columbine, just going, wow, and thinking, I wonder if we're really going to do something about all this now.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think every one of his films gets better, too. I think Sicko and Capitalism are the two best movies he's done. And it turns out the guy puts on quite a good comedy festival.
Yeah, that's what he invited me to do it. And I'm like, when is it? He's like, February. I'm like, oh, in a year? Sure. I am on it.
It was great.
Traverse City in February.
Let me tell you, it's amazing. It was snowing the entire time. And what Michael Moore does, the whole town gets involved. He owns this theater, the State Theater, that was completely refurbished. And Michael did everything. He picked out the carpets, picked out the chairs. He has nights where it's only 25 cents, the same price as in 1944, so unemployed families can come and see a movie together. It's just the best popcorn in the world.
And
then
by
they
the
close
way,
off the entire street. They make it a park. There's ice skating right outside the theater in the street. It's wonderful.
It's almost like the WPA is still alive.
Dick Gregory was there. I was on a flight with Dick Gregory.
Dick Gregory, wow.
And he said the magic words, John. He's like, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. You'll just sit and I'll interview you. I'm like, okay.
Right on.
Okay. All right.
And with the in-flight meal service, he said, what's this sauce? Dick Gregory,
And by the way, so Ron Howard, as nice as you would think he is, and if you're a geek like me, you're trying in your head going, it's Opie. I'm talking to Opie.
Well, if we get him on, I want to ask him about the new season of Arrested Development.
Oh my God!
Done a lot more since Opie.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I actually called Rob Reiner Meathead once. When I was first getting to know him, I just was nervous, and I'm sorry.
That's funny, because no one ever does that.
Jeez, huh? But you know me, because an animal lover that I am, actually the biggest name I met, John.
Yes.
The guy, the head of the board of directors of Best Friends Animal Sanctuary.
Nice.
In Utah.
Wow.
You ever been there? I've been there.
No.
They started the whole no-kill, shelter
thing.
Movement. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
How do they handle all the donations they get? I'm sure they have, boxes of puppies and kittens dropped off every morning.
I don't know. Anyway.
Well, call him and find out. God, I must know this.
We'll have him on. We'll have
him
on as well. All right. Speaking of...
Anxious to do more catwalking?
What if I was, Jen?
What if John Fugelsang would like to take his cats in a stroller through Greenwich Village?
I think it's great.
Know what? My cat who enjoyed it died. Now the kitten who's left, he hates it. So it's not as fun. I have to do it with a baby.
That's weird.
Yeah, okay. It's really weird.
Speaking of parties, kids, Mary in Ann Arbor, kiddo singer on many of our Rocky Mountain Mike things. Staff, looking forward to meeting and groping all y'all again in Chi-Town. Going to be a musical party with Rocky Mountain Mike, me and Audra there. Rock out, Mary in Ann Arbor.
And a bag of Vipers.
Ann Arbor?
Ann Arbor.
You said San Arbor.
I am.
Drunk.
San Arbor, where the Spaniards settled.
Si. San Arborito.
April 13th, Sexy Liberal, Chicago. Tickets going very, very fast, so hurry.
Can't wait.
John Fugelsang will be there.
Yes.
Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And T-Bone and I are making arrangements to come, too.
Oh, well, really now? Yes. You tease.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. It's going to be fun to play that house again with new stuff.
Can I have some Hollywood music?
So, yes.
Oh, also speaking of parties, I'm having an Oscar party Sunday. I got Jim to go there. You know how?
How?
The secret code. Hot Brie. I just tell him Melissa Fitzgerald's going to be there. Her stripper name
is Hot Brie.
Hot Brie. She has a stripper pole in her apartment.
Yep.
For those
That's actually my code name for sex.
Me cheesy.
Yeah, we're doing the whole thing. We have ballots. Serious this year.
Really?
Really?
Oh, wow.
Wow. So I want to know who you think's going to win. I'm very curious.
Are we going to have to stand in line for 9 hours?
Yes. Just to recreate the experience.
Rick Scott's going to run your Oscar party.
I always forget that they... It's like T-ball now. Like, pretty much every movie is nominated for Best Picture.
Like nine.
Remember,
there
used to be like five.
Right? Yeah. Well, it used to be five. Then it was 10. Now it's 9. They're just getting obnoxious. But there's actually some really good films nominated this year that won't win anything.
Amour, Argo,
Amour,
Django Unchained, Les Miserables. Okay. Life of Pi. Miserables.
We speak English here.
Right. Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. Zero Dark Thirty is the only one. I haven't seen that because I fell asleep. I was watching a screener with Roland in Maui.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen Amour?
No. Oh, yeah. That's not going to win. I'm talking about the ones that are going to win.
Hang on. Amour is devastating, and I think you might see the 85-year-old star win Best Actress.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
No way.
Second actress.
Really,
second
really
French actor. I predict she'll be the second French actress to win Best Actress Oscar in the last 10 years.
I think it's going to be Les Mis or Lincoln, don't
That's
you?
Not going to be
For
Les
Best
Mis.
Picture?
Not
for
I
Best
think
Picture?
You'll see Daniel Day-Lewis pick up his third Oscar. I think if Les Mis had made $100 gazillion, it would win, but it hasn't really broken the box office like Chicago did. And the fact is that the casting has been a real detriment for many.
Russell
Crowe. If you like seeing Inspector Javert sing one octave above his comfort level, it's a great film. But but you know what? The amount of stuff he gets right. I saw him as 4 times on Broadway. And I'm straight.
Underwear, it's a little too tight. That's what it was like. Just a one.
Valjean, why am I singing this high?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Silver Linings Playbook annoyed me. I told you, it just irritated me.
What, in the third act when it just became like a Lifetime film?
Yeah, when it became strictly ballroom.
Yeah.
I liked parts of it. The performances were good. Things bothered me, logic-wise, you know?
Well, logic-wise, the film ends with him being able to buy a front restaurant to subsidize people's gambling addicts. So, yeah, there is a bit of a...
spoiler alert why the end bothered me anyway, but...
Jennifer Lawrence.
Psychiatrist does not become your friend and hang out with you socially. I'm just saying there were things...
And get into fights at Eagles games.
Okay, so lead actor Bradley Cooper in Silver Linings Playbook, Daniel Day-Lewis in Lincoln, Hugh Jackman in Les Miserables.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Bleh.
You don't even need to read
Joaquin Phoenix in The Master, Denzel Washington in The Flight. Lead actress Jessica Chastain in Zero Dark Thirty, Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Riva in Amour. Somebody I really cannot pronounce in Beasts of Southern Wild.
Oh, she was the
six years old.
Yeah.
Wallace, somebody. And Naomi Watts in The Impossible.
The two best actors in the world might win Oscars on the same night. Because everyone thinks De Niro might win Best Supporting Actor for Silver Linings Playbook.
A little bit.
There's some enthusiasm for him.
I'd give it to Christoph Waltz, but Daniel Day-Lewis will win for Lincoln. He'll bring home his third.
You think so?
And what about
Best Actress?
Best Actress, I think, is a toss-up between the French actress from Amour and Jennifer Lawrence, who is actually the best thing about Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, no, she is great in it.
I don't think Emmanuel Reeve is going to win.
I don't know.
All right.
If people get the screeners and see it, she's winning.
Yeah, people won't see it.
If people watch it, she's winning.
It's a major downer of a movie.
But the performance is just...
Yeah. I want a Zero Dark Thirty screener. Can someone get me that? I've seen all the other ones. Just can you get that to me, please? I don't like to leave my house to go to a movie theater. But
Just openly ask for an illegal screener?
What? No, I'm in SAG. I get screeners. I got all the other ones.
Well, if they didn't send it to you, there's a reason.
I have a body of work. I have a film.
Yeah.
It's an amazing movie.
I'm shooting
my
second film Monday, as you know, where I'm playing...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. Interviewing people on the red carpet.
This Zero Dark Thirty is the best movie ever about how a pair of high cheekbones got Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you know where... they are not fans of Zero Dark Thirty. Pakistan.
Yeah.
Oddly
yeah,
enough, well. It's reportedly been blocked unofficially. It's unofficially banned in Pakistan.
Well, yeah.
It is the backdrop of the film, of course, in, well, you know, Abbottabad.
Abbottabad.
Right.
Abbottabad.
Is there a movie theater in Abbottabad?
Abbottabad.
I don't know.
No, but there's going to be a water park. Did you hear that?
See, Bin Laden probably had screeners. He didn't like to leave the compound either.
Yeah, well, apparently we stopped paying Pakistan our bribe money once we killed Bin Laden, and it was clear that they had been shielding him, and they're still mad about that.
Yeah.
Well, here's what they're, via the BBC, John, they're mostly mad about. We do not speak Arabic, and we do not eat hummus. Those seem to be the top objections from Pakistani
viewers.
They don't
speak Arabic in Pakistan either.
About Zero Dark Thirty. Hummus seems to be the main objection.
That and the fact that it shows how corrupt the machine is.
We eat hummus here, and we're not in the Middle East.
They speak Urdu in Pakistan.
Right. Anyway, those seem to be their main complaints.
All right.
They are not hummus eaters. Okay.
We're not hummus eaters! We're not hummus eating people!
A fair amount of terrorists and chant death to America on a daily basis? Pretty much, yes. That part's
they are
true.
They're still technically our allies.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's hope that gets better.
All right. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. Okay, all right. Everybody's going to talk one at a time. Okay? Everybody settle down. Everybody gentle down. It's Oscar weekend. I know we're excited. 17 minutes after the hour, we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Taking back God. Taking back the flag. Taking back America. And all before breakfast. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Thank you, Yellow. all right. So we were talking about, I hung out with Michael Moore last night, talked about guns, obviously, and bowling for Columbine, all that stuff. Joe Biden, of course, yesterday.
An assumption is in American politics today that this is kind of a third rail of politics. That if you take this on, somehow there will be a severe political price to pay for doing it. People say, and you read, and people write about the political risk and why they're unacceptable to take on. I say it's unacceptable not to take these on.
Hooray!
Yeah, he was good yesterday.
Why do I get a feeling that maybe I shouldn't have posted that picture of me and Michael Moore? That's going to end up on Sean Hannity's left-wing hate speech for something. The next time he or I say something, anything.
Yeah, preventing gun violence is hate speech.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In their world. Exactly. In their tiny, tiny brain little world.
It's really been brilliant how they deployed Biden. You know, him coming out, his whole line about getting a shotgun, which aside from being the fact that that's what you should do, you know, a shotgun's not going to kill some kid three houses down if you fire it. But he undercut the whole right-wing argument that they're coming to take your guns away by saying, go out and buy a shotgun. Although when he said fire it off the balcony, Joe, that's frowned upon in Manhattan.
Yeah, firing discriminately into your yard. I know. I was like, maybe that
park. Manhattan?
Yeah, right.
It's called the park.
But that, you're right, John. This is what, you know, Orrin Hatch just did this. Senator Hatch said he believes President Obama and most liberal Democrats really want to repeal the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what they make these straw man arguments that nobody is making that argument.
Yeah.
But, you know, they try to go, well, this is how extreme the left is.
And you know why they say it? Because they're terrified of being primaried by the Tea Party.
Yes.
So they're going to go more crazy right.
Well, yeah, I love this.
See what they did to John McCain.
Right. Laura Ingraham asked him, do you think if he had his druthers, President Obama would repeal the Second Amendment? Well, first of all, they're off in hypothetical land. And he says, I don't think there's any question about it. Most liberal Democrats would. He has been against, by the way, gun control, any gun control measures, a ban on assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, background checks, all of it.
Our conservative friends forget the Democrats have kind of sucked on this issue since the 90s.
He said one reason most conservatives are very concerned about universal background checks, that's the beginning of the end of government controlling every aspect of our lives.
Fascism, communism, Nazism, ism.
90-something percent of Americans are for background checks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Including gun owners.
Exactly, including gun owners, and 87% of gun owners, of NRA members, I might add, believe that the Second Amendment goes hand in hand with preventing gun violence. Wayne LaPierre doesn't speak for these people. He speaks for the manufacturers, the only people to profit since Newtown. And, you know, I thought it was brilliant to send Biden out that way. These guys just keep on lying. But this is the only reason why Lindsey Graham has been going after Chuck Hagel, not because he really has any moral core beliefs about Chuck Hagel being bad. Chuck Hagel was right, and that's why they hate him.
Right.
Lindsey Graham's doing this because he knows the Tea Party despises him in South Carolina, and he's trying to head off the primary challenge.
He's trying to be Butch, and I love it.
These guys
does that.
Do know that the president can't just automatically strike down something in the Constitution.
I know. I thought they were big guns. You think they would be more knowledgeable about the Constitution.
You know, I don't like that one. Get rid of
it. By the way, to your point, John, Jeff in Iowa writes, Steph, let's see, back in the 90s, the NRA supported the idea of background checks to keep criminals from getting guns. Then the Brady Law was passed, and background checks stopped hundreds of thousands of people from getting a gun each year. For the next 10 years, the rate of murder and violent crime declined dramatically, and the gun industry complained about slumping gun sales. When it became obvious that background checks resulted in lower gun sales along with lower crime rates, the NRA suddenly decided they're now opposed to background checks. It's never been more clear the NRA works exclusively to protect the massive corporate profits of the multi-billion dollar gun industry. Thank you, Jeff.
So they want background, they want a national database of mentally ill people, but not of gun owners, and they want you to show ID when you vote, but not when you buy a weapon.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
Got it. Thank you.
By the way, just a little irony in the headline. NRA president's son convicted for road rage shooting. Nears end of 10-year jail sentence. NRA President David Keene, that guy. When he bragged this week that his pro-gun agenda would win because guns are cool, he may have rattled the bones of that skeleton lying around in the family closet. Keene's 31-year-old son, David Michael Keene, was accused in December 2002 for shooting his handgun at another driver while taking his BMW for a jaunt along the Potomac, blah, 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 in Virginia. Police officers noted his shot came within inches of the other driver's head. In January 2003, the judge sentenced him to 10 years in prison, which means he should be getting out, just about now. Keene Jr. had a troubled mental history since high school, had been hospitalized for emotional problems during his middle to late childhood at least 7 times. His Keene's dad enabled his emotionally frail son, the third out of 5 children, to own the gun he nearly used to murder another motorist in a fit of road rage. When Keene Jr. was arrested, he was working at the American Conservative Union's Director of Online Communications. Nice gig for a 21-year-old. What a coinkydink. Your old dad was in charge of the ACU at the time. This is from a 2002 piece. David Michael Keene, blah, 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 activist son charged in road rage shooting, was institutionalized with severe emotional problems 7 times between the ages of 8 and 13. His mother said on Tuesdays he's had a continuing problem with impulse control, an exaggerated belief he was in more danger than he was at times. Wonder where he got that from. Causing him to respond in a way that was more excessive or out of line with what was going on, said his mother at the time. Carr said the gun was registered in Keene's name and added that her son and his fiancé were on their way to target practice at the time of the incident.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Yeah, that's in the midst of the gun debate. That's unfortunate timing. That whole story has surfaced again, John.
It's really the question of, you know, what are you going to do, gun junkies, to make it harder for deranged people to get their hands on weapons or harder for angry people to get their hands on weapons? What are you going to do to make it harder for these kind of shootings to happen? And their answer is nothing.
Yeah. Speaking of guns, we have a little bit of breaking news coming out of South Africa. Oscar Pistorius has been granted bail, but he has pledged to stay in South Africa. That just came down.
Mm. Wow.
Yep. So.
That story is.
Wow.
Curious.
Yeah. Curious.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is going to, it's like the OJ scandal, except it's all white people in South Africa.
Well, yeah, and I was reading some of what the judge was saying this morning, and he seems to have really believed Oscar Pistorius' story.
Really?
Yeah.
He may have.
Well,
yeah. All I know is that the courts in South Africa have much cooler lighting than the courts in America.
Yes, they do. He's
It's like a club
lit.
Over there, man. It's awesome.
All right, we'll talk about all the latest.
It's like an indie film.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk more about that. And we have Dave Gilson, a writer for Mother Jones, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Desperately depressed, I turned to the one thing that could lessen my pain.
Stephanie Miller.
Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. John, people saying sexy liberal in the New York Bureau. Well, here's, you know, just a collateral damage gun story. A woman trying to make an evening snack ended up in the hospital Monday night in St. Petersburg after a round of ammunition exploded inside an oven. She just wanted some waffles. What she did not know is her friend had placed a magazine from his .45 caliber Glock in the oven.
Why would you put
yeah, that's what
ammunition
said.
In an oven?
Unclear why he would do that. So she was shot by her oven. Okay, so that happened. we've been talking about him, boy. Great piece in Mother Jones called 10 Pro-Gun Myths Shot Down. The author of that piece, Dave Gilson, joins us now. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. This is great stuff you put together.
Thank you very much.
You say fact-checking some of the gun lobby's favorite arguments shows they're full of holes. Oh, that was Dave, you scamp.
we love our puns.
But let's go over some of them, because some people may not know. You know, and we just talked about this one. Myth number one, they're coming for your guns. Fact check, no one knows the exact number of guns in America. It's clear there is no practical way to round them all up. Never mind that no one in Washington is proposing this, right?
Yeah, it's really mind-blowing when people talk about the government coming for people's guns. Right. Never mind the fact that, you know, there is a Second Amendment right to own weapons. But, you know, looking at the numbers of guns, just from a practical standpoint, there are more than 300 million guns in the hands of American civilians. In comparison, the government and police officers only own about 4 million guns.
Right.
So I'm not saying that, you know, people need to keep that in perspective, that there are a lot of guns out there.
Right. As you say,
get rounded up.
Gun owners have the feds and cops outgunned by a factor of around 79 to 1. So there's that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just.
And so the idea that we need more guns because the government's about to take them away, I mean, just numerically speaking, seems unrealistic.
Yeah. And this is my favorite. Myth number two, guns don't kill people. People kill people. Fact check.
Yeah. We've seen across the board on the national level, at the state level, and, you know, sometimes at the local level as well, people with more guns tend to kill more people using those guns.
Yeah. Right. That's
and there's just numerous examples of this and, you know, data that has shown this time and time again.
Who is it that said, oh, you know, hammers and what's the other thing?
Hammers and baseball bats.
Yeah,
right, kill just as many people. What?
Yeah, that one is definitely not true.
Yes.
Yeah.
You
and
say
that
the states
used correctly.
The states with the highest gun ownership rates have a gun murder rate 114% higher than those with the lowest gun ownership rates. I just love how people dismiss these statistics, right, Dave? I mean, it's just like, I mean,
the NRA's response to that one said, well, it just depends how you split up the states and how you count the states. But again, I mean, they took two groups of states with the same population and found, you know, when you compare them, you get higher gun death rates in states with more guns.
Yeah. You're like, well, you use the boundaries that, you know, you can see on most maps.
Yeah.
That's the way that we've commonly known as the states. Yeah.
Right.
Myth number three, an armed society is a polite society. Fact check, drivers who carry guns are 44% more likely than unarmed drivers to make obscene gestures at other motorists, 77% more likely to follow them aggressively. You say, I mean, in states with stand your ground, and other laws making it easier to shoot in self-defense, those policies have been linked to a 7 to 10% increase in homicides. Again, it would seem like logic, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, obviously, you know, most gun owners aren't running around shooting stuff up, but I think there is data that suggests that, you know, carrying a gun can make you more aggressive. And, you know, in the case of stand your ground states, we've seen that, you know, more people may be getting shot as a result of those laws.
I think it was Bill Maher, I was quoting, said it last week, Dave, where he was talking about the Trayvon Martin, and he's like, well, but if there wasn't a gun, wouldn't it be just a guy that lost a fist fight? And,
right.
You know, I mean, right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually a theme that comes up over and over in all of these myths that we're debunking, is just that the availability of guns just introduces a new risk to situations that otherwise, like you said, it might have been resolved with a fist fight, or someone feels, you know, pissed off, excuse me, if I can say that.
Sure.
You know, against someone, and instead of, you know, having an argument that ends in someone storming out, they reach for a gun.
Yeah, exactly. Myth number four, more good guys with guns can stop rampaging bad guys. Fact check, mass shootings stopped by armed civilians in the past 30 years? Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing an extensive data project looking at mass shootings, and, you know, we found 30 years worth of them. And in all of those cases, not a single one was stopped by a civilian picking up a gun and getting the shooter. In the cases where civilians did try to step in, they often got shot. And, you know, we hear this over and over again when we talk about, oh, we need to arm teachers to stop school shootings. The chances of a civilian being able to handle a situation like that seem very slim.
Well, and this was an interesting one. You say chances of that a shooting at an ER involves guns taken from guards, 1 in 5.
Yeah, I mean, that really blew me away, too, because that suggests, you know, even trained, you know, security and law enforcement, I mean, they often, their guns may be used against them.
Well, I mean, we were talking about there was a guard where at one of these latest
Columbine.
Mass shootings. Yeah, Columbine, and then also, well, when we were talking about Fort Hood, there was a few guns there.
And Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. It's not just gun-free zones, as people say.
Yeah. Myth number 5, keeping a gun at home makes you safer. Fact check. Owning a gun has been linked to higher risks of homicide, suicide, and accidental death by gun. For every time a gun is used in self-defense in the home, there are 7 assaults or murders, 11 suicide attempts, and 4 accidents involving guns in or around the home. Again, that one seems fairly self-evident, right?
Yeah, and again, there has been a lot of public health research into that specific issue. And again, they've just found links that, you know, when guns are around, they tend to get used more often in, people. There's a huge link between suicide and having a gun in the home, which is really striking.
Well, we've been talking about this Oscar Pistorius case, and no matter what happened, if it was a domestic dispute or, you know, he was afraid of a home invasion, it would have been resolved differently if there wasn't a gun. I mean, it's just that's kind of a, you know, we've talked about how that and however many miss what Bob Costas said, right, about the football player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. The gun just changes the equation.
Myth number 6, carrying a gun for self-defense makes you safer. Fact check, in 2011, nearly 10 times more people were shot and killed in arguments than by civilians trying to stop a crime. To the same point.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you hear various numbers from the NRA and pro-gun folks that, 2.5 million people use their guns in self-defense every year, and these numbers are probably wildly inflated. And again, you know, guns are used in self-defense, but most often guns are used for other, in crimes than people defending themselves.
My favorite statistic wasn't even a statistic, but an argument a right-wing radio host was trying to make that I heard recently is he said, well, they don't count the number of times a gun's brandished. And a crime
yes.
is stopped.
Well,
okay.
And again, one person's self-defense is another person's intimidation.
Right.
And there was this study where they did ask people, okay, did you use your gun in self-defense? And then they had people describe the situation. They showed the situation to a panel of judges, and the judges said, about half of these would land you in court if the police knew about it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Again, it's people saying, oh, well, this dude threatened me, so I pulled my gun. Well, that's not self-defense. That's intimidation or something else.
Right. Let's see. Where are we? There we are. Yes. Myth number 7, guns make women safer. Fact check, in 2010, nearly 6 times more women were shot by husbands, boyfriends, and ex-partners than murdered by male strangers. A woman's chances of being killed by her abuser increases more than 7 times if he has access to a gun. Mm-hmm. Again, this is, remember this Gail Trotter, Dave, that was testifying. And, I mean, it's just, it's a fantasy. She's testifying about something that, I mean, as Lawrence O'Donnell was saying to her, when has this ever happened? When has this happened that you've used an assault weapon to, fend off 6 assault weapon wielding invaders and your children are crying in the background, right?
Yeah. And I think we have this popular conception of, women having, women defending themselves from strangers. But as we see here, you're more at risk from someone you live with, a man that you live with or a man you're involved with, which is really sad. But again, if there's a gun in that equation, it can really, and it's an abusive situation, it can become deadly.
Yeah, that's why we don't have guns around this place, because these two, I would have been gone a long time ago.
You're joking, of course.
I am irritating. All right. Myth number 8, vicious. This is my bugaboo. Uh-oh. Here's your. It's going to be your. Myth number 8, vicious, violent video games deserve more blame than guns. You make the case, what's up with Japan? And,
Dave, Canada.
Right. Dave, I mean, I'm just saying, and again, I clearly, the First Amendment is such that I'm not talking about banning them. It troubles me, the video games, but I get your point. You talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I was being a little reductionist there, obviously, but I think, you know, there certainly is more to be said about video games, but there are countries, you know, all over the world where people do play the same video games that our kids play. And
well, and I agree with you that I think guns are much more a part of the problem. As you say, per capita spending on video games in the U.S., $44, $55 in Japan. Gun homicides in the United States, 11,030. In Japan, 11. And right. I didn't read that wrong. 11.
Yeah. I mean, there just are literally like no guns in Japan.
Video games, violent.
Yeah, go ahead, John. Sorry.
Video games, violent movies, and mental illness have become the axis of scapegoat for the NRA.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, and then Wayne LaPierre, by the way, puts out a video game from the NRA right after he makes that argument.
Where
I mean,
you shoot
ridiculous.
Coffin-shaped targets on the anniversary of Newtown.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I will say, Dave, I've talked about this, and I don't even know if it's a parental thing. Who's the latest, Adam Lanza? I mean, again, isn't there something there where literally kids are doing it for hours, all day long and all night? I mean, do you think it's more of a parenting thing or what?
I mean, gosh, I mean, I'm a parent, and I don't let my kids play video games. I mean, I think it's a factor like anything else. I mean, not to say that you can blame it on violent video games. But,
right.
you know,
right.
I do think violent media is part of the overall equation we're talking about when we talk about gun violence.
Yeah.
But you'd agree, Dave, that Adam Lanza, for all the video games he played, was also sleeping in a basement where his mother stored automatic weapons.
Yes, and I think that's a big part of it, too. And I think when the NRA talks about video games, they're not saying, hey, let's have a discussion that includes everything from media to guns.
Right.
They're saying, let's not talk about guns, let's just talk about the media.
Right.
And I think, you know, part of what, one of the reasons I wanted to look into these gun myths is just to remind people, like, hey, guns have to be a part of this discussion.
And I think a much bigger part, honestly. I mean, I've had my dearest friend who's a psychologist on, who said they do have studies proving, I mean, violent video games are not, they're not helpful. And whether it's ratings or parental, parenting, I think it's something, again, you have to come to the table and look at it. But, all right, myth number 9, more and more Americans are becoming gun owners. Fact check, more guns are being sold, but they're being owned by a shrinking portion of the population. I'm guessing most of whom have Fox News blaring in the background. About 50% of Americans say they had a gun in their homes in 1973. Today, about 45% say they do. That's interesting. And almost 80% of gun owners are men. On average, they own 7.9 guns each.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting. I mean, actually, in terms of individuals who own guns, I think it's about 35% of Americans. So, you know, it's a minority. It's still obviously a big part of the culture, but I think we sometimes imagine that, you know, we've got 300 million guns. That's one gun for every person. Well, no,
right.
It's actually, you know, like you said there, I mean, it's a few folks who collect guns or kind of have their personal stash.
Right. Well, and as you say, and how much of that is driven by fear and stockpiling because of the whole, you know, the government's coming to take all your guns away, right?
Yeah, and the main reason people are buying guns, you know, surveys show, is for self-defense. It's not for kind of the traditional, you know, hunting or collecting purposes.
Right. Myth number 10, the last one, we don't need more gun laws. We just need to enforce the ones we have. Fact checked, weak laws and loopholes backed by the gun lobby make it easier to get guns illegally. And we've all heard this one, around 40% of all legal gun sales involve private sellers and don't require background checks. 40% of prison inmates who use guns in their crimes got them this way. And that's, I think that's huge.
Yeah, I think that's this glaring loophole where, you know, that's a loophole that the NRA has defended, you know, time and time again. And as we've seen, it's the source of a lot of guns that get used in crimes. And, you know, it would be easy enough to close it.
Right, exactly. And this was the last one. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has not had a permanent director for 6 years due to an NRA-backed requirement that the Senate approves nominees. I mean, that was the main point of your piece, right, Dave, is that, I mean, the NRA is doing everything they can to block even data collection on gun violence, right?
Yeah, I mean, the ATF in particular has really had its hands tied by the NRA. I mean, we recently did a story that talked about, you know, how ATF background checks on gun owners, that data only really exists in an accessible form for 24 hours. So if the FBI thinks someone is buying guns illegally, they basically have a day to get that paperwork. So, you know, literally evidence of crimes is being destroyed because, you know, Congress has set up the ATF to be fairly weak at the behest of the gun lobby.
Yeah, well, Dave, great stuff. In Mother Jones Magazine, top 10 gun myths. Yep. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. There he goes. Dave Gilson.
Yeah, and we put a link to it up on your Facebook page.
We're good that way.
I know, right?
When guns I say we, I mean you.
Guns don't kill people. Enthusiasms kill people.
That's right.
Enthusiasm.
That's right. Okay, 48 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays and Fugles Thing on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Moving on to new business, what act of unmitigated evil shall the Republican Party undertake this week?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 53 minutes after the hour. Fridays with Sexy Little John Fugles Thing in the New York Bureau. All right, let's see. Norma, we were just talking about to the author of Top 10 Gun Myths in Mother Jones Magazine. We posted that. About video games, Norma, on your side.
Okay.
Okay. Steph, watching the show today's show on DVR because I just had spinal fusion. Yikes.
Oh, jeez.
Yikes. It struck me that maybe video games have nothing to do with any of it any more than, let's say, cell phones. Maybe saying a young man who's into video games is the same as a young man who has a cell phone. I mean, I bet they all ate dinner, too. Does that mean that dinner is causing the shootings? I get your point, and I tend to agree that games are crazy violent. But they may be a red herring in the discussion. Of course, they may not be. I agree it should be looked at. All right, she's on both sides of that issue then. She's a flip-flopper and squishy.
Well, I mean, it depends on the guy playing the game or gal.
Right.
Yeah.
Generally, it's guys, though.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, Jim, is what is happening when it's always a young guy that's into video games? I mean, John, we were just saying in the last several massacres, right? It's a combination of assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, you know, mental health, and violent video games, right?
Oh.
Oh, John? Sorry.
Well, I think it has to do with people who have difficulty distinguishing fantasy from reality.
Right.
And those people are susceptible to being influenced by video games or movies or what have you.
Right. Yeah, well, except that I know experts have said there's something about video games because they're interactive that is more influential than movies. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's more symptomatic rather than causal.
Mm-hmm. Robert in Ohio is a self-professed gun nut. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I did some research. And in 1792, our Congress passed the Militia Act that grants every person who has a household the same weaponry that the military has. Mm-hmm. That's 1792. And in 1902, our Congress passed the Dick Act.
Excuse me.
Huh?
The Dick Act, D-I-C-K Act.
All right. I'm guessing
They're still passing it.
Hey!
See what you did there? John's back! Okay.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
You know who I got tied up with in the hallway?
Herman Cain.
Herman Cain.
Oh, my God.
He's right next to me.
Did he give you some used food?
He smells nice.
Does he?
Very,
oh.
Very, very nice gentleman, yes. Very nice guy. And I almost wanted to be like, hey, thanks for helping our album go to number one.
Yeah, exactly. Greg in Pennsylvania, you're on with John. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Steph. I told T-Bone I wanted to talk about the sequester, but, you know, I wanted the gun topic today. I wanted to relate just some incidents. In my life, I'm only 58 years old, Steph.
Huh?
I've had 11 gun incidents.
Ooh.
I've seen.
Wow.
Seriously, to start off with, 7 of them were suicides, and these are either by friends, neighbors, or coworkers. A friend's nephew was murdered. I had guns pointed at me twice, once in a convenience store holdup, and then once involving road rage. And then, Steph, honestly, I did see a biker bar when I was in college. I still live across from a biker bar. I saw a bouncer stand off a shotgun-wielding patron. But that's a biker bar.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's kind of normal. Incident,
that's something out of the Patrick Swayze movies.
What town do you live in?
Nothing against bikers.
Right.
Because, to be honest, they were defending. I did literally see it. I mean, there were no shots fired, but it was brandishing. But I'm 58 years old, you know, and I've worked in the mental health field. None of these outside of a coworker in the mental health field, not somebody who was involved, you know, in the program or anything, committed suicide. 7 of these incidents were suicide. That's way too much for my life. I mean, that's way too much to see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
so, Hey, and
Greg, I think, you know, you don't even need to see statistics to think that's logical. You know, if you have easy access to a gun, it's like, you know, when if you're in a wave of despair or depression, it's just it's a lot easier to accomplish something that otherwise you had that you would have to really think through.
It's sad. It's depressing that I've had to, you know, witness these kinds of things. I'm not a violent person. You know, to be honest, I grew up here in an area where, you know, it was guns were prevalent here in Pennsylvania. I think where it was sometimes quoted as being the second largest NRA members.
I hear you. Yeah, exactly. All right, John Fuglesang hangs with us.
Hooray!
Fridays with Fuglesang continues a bit more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. It is Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau.
Yay.
Hangs with us for a little while longer.
Yay.
Hey.
Hi, John Fuglesang.
Hi, Stephanie Miller. Greetings from the freezing New York Bureau.
Yeah, I know. Yikes.
Very unpleasant.
Adam in Chicago. Steph, I saw this story, thought of you immediately. Oh, red wine protects against hearing loss. It does not appear to be working for me.
Sorry.
What? Yeah, red wine combined with too many years of radio headphones, though, that's no.
Computer says no.
What? I'm hard of hearing, Darth Vader, at this point.
So red wine helps against hearing loss?
Apparently. It's not working in my...
No.
Trust me, I'm trying.
What?
So what you're saying is if I smoke enough weed while drinking red wine, I'll come out even.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. Anyway, he says, see you at Chicago Sexy Liberal. I'll be there to reach new levels of sexy liberal debauchery. There's a few levels have already been reached.
Uh-oh.
With my good friends Shafe, Kenny Pick, Audra, John and Pam. Who knows who else? I've got Meet and Grow Up, so I can't wait to spend time with you, the sexiest fossil that won't be in the Field Museum. Thank you. Bastard.
That's what happens when you're in the middle of the country there.
Yeah.
People coming in from both sides.
Yeah. April 13th, the big sexy liberal of Chicago. All right. So John Fuglesang.
Yes,
Stephanie. You've been hanging out talking literally to Herman Cain.
Yes, I have been in the next studio from you. I was going to try and ask him to come onto Viewpoint as a guest, which I know would never happen, but I thought I'd take a shot at
he's
it.
A,
although
he's a Fox News contributor now, so he can't.
I know, he's,
yeah.
he's exclusive. But next Thursday, we are going to have, for a very special show, Dick Cavett and Susie Essman together. We're going to do a three-person panel. It's going to be
cool.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah, that is awesome.
All right.
Tell Dick I said hi. He probably doesn't remember me.
All right. And, by the way, up at StephanieMiller.com. Pictures of me partying last night with Michael Moore and Ron Howard at some fancy event.
Oh, they're very hot.
Yes, and Melissa Fitzgerald, or as we call her,
Hot Brie.
You can actually see Ron Howard indicating towards a security guard. It's really interesting.
She is both a smoking hot and a do-gooder, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too bad about her looks, huh?
Yes,
yeah,
it's a
very
shame.
Nice to meet her at the D.C. Sexy Liberal Show.
Yes.
And she's got an awesome personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's a lot of fun.
She doesn't even have the decency to be a bitch.
I know.
Quite upsetting.
Person.
All right. So the president expresses doubts about a March 1st deal to head off the... he expressed doubt that a deal could be struck with Republican lawmakers. He said, at this point, we continue to reach out to Republicans and say, this is not going to be good for the economy. It's not going to be good for ordinary people, but I don't know if they're going to move. And that's what we're going to have to keep pushing over the next 7-8 days. The president,
I blame Acorn.
The president. Yeah,
I don't know why it is in this town folks leave stuff till the last minute. There's no other profession, no other industry where people wait until the 11th hour to solve these big problems. And obviously it creates a lot of uncertainty in our economy.
He said whether we can move Republicans at this point to do the right thing is what we're trying to gauge. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Someone sent me, these are the fun facts. Who voted for the sequester, John? Democratic votes, 0. Republican votes, 218.
Yeah. Huh.
That Who sounds like a voter sequester.
Who moved it through the House when he was bragging that he got 98% of what he wanted?
Hashtag boner quester.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Bling. I'm pretty happy. I got 98% of what I wanted.
Oops.
Did I say that? Oh, God.
There
will be jobs on the line if the sequester takes place. And the president will, as he continues to do, call on Republicans in Congress to agree to avoid the sequester because it's a It's a wholly unnecessary, uninflicted wound on the economy if it were to take place.
Where are the jobs? Oh, I'm sorry.
If we lose jobs, so be it. That's what he said yesterday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So be it.
Yeah,
screw
this
you.
Is all, it's a lot of theater, except real theater creates jobs. And you know what? If the GOP really thinks they can get away with making the public believe this is the president's fault, they will let the sequester happen, but the polls show it's not working.
I was just going to say, John, while looking here, right in front
I'm
of me,
your
picture
segue
of the moment. New poll, President Obama beating Republicans almost everywhere. Let's see, fixing the deficit, 45% say the president, 38% Republicans. Gun control, 45% agree with the president, 39% with Republicans. Immigration, 50% with the president,
wow.
33% with Republicans. Climate change, 47% support the president's views, 26% support the Republican view. Blame for the sequester, 31% say the president's fault, 49% Republicans.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
And that's the best news we could have gotten, because if that's the case, that means that, you know, I knew John Boehner wasn't going to call the House back from doing nothing on vacation to doing nothing in D.C.
Right.
But if they think that they're going to catch the blame for this, they will do something by the end of the week. And this is all because they wouldn't raise the debt ceiling for President Obama. Don't forget, they did that how many times? 17 times for Reagan, 189% increase under Reagan, what, 11 times for Bush?
Yeah. Love this. And this poll is my favorite. Breaking news. Recent polls suggest the majority of Americans consider being called Republican insulting. See, here's where we are in America, John. We are on the verge of marriage equality. So, you know, when people used to call you the F word for gay men and throw gum in your hair, now it's been that insult has been replaced with Republican. Americans, literally, they consider it an insult. 87% of Americans consider the word Republican to be synonymous with greed, racism, and violence.
Yes. Yeah, that's why it was so refreshing to see the film Lincoln when they were liberal.
Right.
Yeah. Now just 22% of Americans, nearly a record low, consider themselves Republicans.
And liberal Abraham Lincoln was a victim of gun violence.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim. The president's carny again.
The president is commander-in-chief, and he is very concerned, and that is why he has put forward compromise proposals again and again.
By the way, the president called Mitch McConnell in the terrarium, Jim. He spoke to Republican congressional leaders, the first sign of movement on this whole sequester thing. Jay Carney said the president had placed calls to the Boehner and to Mitch McConnell.
I can't talk to you right now. I'm in the middle of a head of lettuce.
Do you think the president can hear crunching when he talks to Mitch McConnell? You stop eating that lettuce first. It's the president.
Yo, coughing link.
And then he just hears the clinking glasses when he calls Boehner.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Just little tiny bottles. And it's what? What? Nothing.
What? What are you talking about? It's not booze.
Rich in Illinois, you're on with John and Company. Hello, Rich.
Hey, I work at a gun store, and most of the people buying these AR systems are young people. When I mean young people, 21 to early 30s. I don't see a whole bunch of old white guys coming in buying a $2,900 AR system.
Yeah.
It has to do with people that feel liberty is going to be taken away, and they want to get the gun before the Democrats, you know, abolish everything.
Oh, you bet.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rich, that should be the background check. Are you a gun guy, a young guy that plays video games? No, you can't have a gun then. Sorry.
Are they any women, sir? Any women buying these guns, or mostly young males?
The women are buying handguns by the carloads.
Which cause more mortars, and no one's trying to ban.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Handguns are responsible for far more murders than assault rifles, but no one's trying to ban those.
Look at what Chicago does. They don't ban it. They just make it virtually impossible to own one. So, I mean, it's whatever you call a rose, I guess.
Right, but then Rich in Illinois, you go like two right over
the criminals
outside the city limits, and you can get guns anywhere.
Buy them behind a Stuckey's.
Can't bring it into the city, though. You can't go outside. I work outside the city, and
there's not a magnetic force field surrounding the city of Chicago.
They're not like refrigerator magnets. Yeah. Uh-oh, I'm in Chicago. Shank. Where'd my gun go?
The point is, no one's trying to take away handguns, and those are being sold, and those are what are actually responsible for even more murders.
Evil
Democrats taking all our guns away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Damn it, the magnet blimp stole my gun right out of my hand. Shunk.
Shiklank. Josh in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Josh.
How you doing, Miss Stephanie?
Good.
Okay, I'm with Michael Moore's assessment that they're just scaring the heck out of us and talking about the video game thing.
Yeah.
it's impossible to have a study on whether or not violent video games are doing this or not.
Oh, it's
because
of course
there
it's
is
not,
no control
yeah.
group of kids in America that do not play violent
yeah.
video games.
Well, Josh, it's we've said it over and over again, but the majority of people that own guns aren't going to do this. The majority of mentally ill people aren't going to do this. The majority of people that play video games aren't going to do this. It's not one thing. There's some toxic brew going on. Don't
I'll
you think?
Never forget the time that someone jumped out of an alien.
I would say it's Michael Moore's assessment that the media is scaring the heck out of us and we're shooting at shadows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's part of it. He wrote a really good piece, Michael Moore. I forgot to talk to him about that last night. John, it looked at all the parts of it, which I think not enough people do.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a fan of fake violence and a fan of real nonviolence, so I'm not really worried about fake violence in movies. Yeah. I have it on good authority that Tokyo just had Django Unchained open, and yet they still haven't had any murders. I'm also under the impression that Australia has the same violent video games we have, but guess what they don't have? Mass shootings.
That's
why?
Right.
They have much more strict gun control laws, much more conservative gun control
laws. Because they
had
something happen, and then they did something about it, which
then
I know is wildly
the
illogical.
The society got together and decided to raise the standards to save the lives of their countrymen, because that's what patriotism actually means.
It was a little bit easier for them because they don't have a Second Amendment, so... There's that.
Also,
yeah, you know,
a big noise.
That's not enough.
This week was the was the 80th anniversary of the 21st Amendment, which repealed prohibition, proving that Congress can alter the Constitution
when the
people demand it.
Exactly. I mean, I make that point almost every day on the show.
Yeah, that was the Where's the Party Party did that, I believe, back then. Beth in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are y'all?
Good, go ahead.
Taking the time. Well, all of this discussion about mental health, like Wayne LaPierre seems to have this childishly dualistic attitude that there's a clear demarcation between the good guys and the bad guys,
right.
between the lunatics and those of us who are supposedly sane.
Yeah.
And when we're discussing the age group at which is involved in these shootings quite often, one thing that hasn't been mentioned is that my brother and I we worked as hall directors when we were in graduate school. He saw a lot more of this than I did because he finished graduate school. But about the ages of 18 to 22 is very often when someone who is psychotic is going to have their first psychotic break. Until then, you can't screen for that. You can't do a background check for that. All you can do is decrease the availability of the most lethal and efficient means of killing.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. Absolutely. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, the remaining moments of Fridays with Fugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I'm guessing your Oscar party won't be quite that raucous.
Yes, it will. 22
That's
minutes.
I'm not there.
Yeah.
Come on, John. Move to LA.
I'm working on it.
Come on with it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. We've been, John, we were talking, obviously, we've been talking about gun stuff, and Chris gave us the breaking news earlier that Oscar Pistorius has got bail.
Bail, yeah.
And some people are comparing this to OJ, because you're wondering, is it because he's this famous athlete that, you know, he's able to buy reasonable doubt? This story just seems fishy to me, John. What do you think?
Well, the one good news about his being released is, ladies, he's single.
John Louise Fugelsang.
Really?
No, I've heard so much conflicting information about whether there were steroids there and whether that was being used to incriminate him or whether it was, you know, he was going to use it as an excuse. The parallels of the OJ case are really fair, I think, in that this is the most famous person ever in the country's history accused of murder, just like OJ was for us. It happens to be a world famous athlete, just like OJ was, with a stunning, too ridiculous. Ridiculously blonde and beautiful for reality partner. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the lead investigative cop is kind of a genocidal douchebag.
Yeah.
So you combine those factors, and there are a few coincidences.
It just, I guess to me, wouldn't your instinct be, you know, to say, hey, honey, do you hear something? Do you know what I mean? If you're listening to his story,
Well, the story is ridiculous.
That, I mean, wouldn't you think, gee, I wonder if it's my partner in the bathroom before you just fire four shots into a bathroom door?
You know, I think there's a burglar crouching on my bathroom floor, but I'm going to assume that my girlfriend is lying next to me and not check to see if she's safe and then go in there and fire four shots.
Right.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
And I got, like we were saying, it's hard to remember which details have been, you know, been proved conclusively or not, but I thought someone said the bathroom door was locked, which is, isn't that
inside.
Why he said he used the, right, from the inside, which, why would you do that unless you were scared, right? I think they were saying that he might have used the bat to break the door down, but then you're going, why would she lock herself in the
And if she's crouching on the floor, how does he know to shoot downward? It's just, it's so weird all around. You know, I have to get more facts on it. All I know is, like I said earlier in the first hour, their courts have cooler lighting than our courts.
Well, right. And, you know, their judicial system is slightly different from ours, so we can't apply what we know about ours to what, you know, what is going on over there.
Yeah,
but it, you know, this touches on steroids or Androgel or whatever it was he had. This touches on you know, so many different issues, and again, it's just all the more tragic because he was a real hero to people with disabilities.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I, you know, and then the other thing, obviously, you can construe two ways. Neighbors saying they heard arguing, shouting, but you know, again, he, you know, he could say, "Oh yeah, I was shouting at what he thought was a burglar." I don't know.
You quoted the stat earlier about how much more a danger you are of being killed by a loved one if there's a gun in your home. That's not to say you shouldn't have a gun in your home. It's just what the stat is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, whether this is a domestic dispute or a tragic accident.
And the more I'm finding out about him, the more of a douche I think he always has been. So you know, I.
Not sure that's admissible in court.
No,
yeah,
well, I mean, he doesn't sound like the most pleasant person in the world, and I don't know. I don't know what that means, but whatever.
Yeah, I just, plus, John, I just, the whole story is a little like, why would a burglar be in your bathroom the whole thing?
Yeah, you know,
really? Would
it's
he take
very...
a pit stop? Just hang on. I'll be out in a second, and then I'm going to steal some stuff, but I'm just, don't come in here right now.
It's very, very
really?
Tawdry, and you know, unlike the O.J. case, it doesn't involve race, although it is in the most famous country for racial injustice in our lifetimes. But, you know, when the O.J. case happened and people were all saying that was too much coverage, the fact is that was the most famous person in American history ever to go on trial for murder. O.J. Mm-hmm. Simpson was a bigger name than Fatty Arbuckle.
Yep.
And, you know, this is really, really huge for that culture and for anyone who cares about sports and for anyone who cares about people with disabilities overcoming it. So the story's not going away.
Yep. Dave in California, you're on with John. Hey, Dave.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I wanted to talk to you about that guy, that gun nut that called in a little bit earlier.
Yes.
Which one?
The one that was talking about House Resolution 11654 of 1902, also called the Dick Act.
Right.
Mm. Yes. That's an actual thing.
It is a thing. We thought we were being pranked.
It is a real thing. What it says, basically, is that you can't take away our right to own guns. But what it doesn't say, and I'll bet you he wasn't going to mention this, is it doesn't say anything about Congress's ability to regulate guns.
Yep.
Right. Right.
Okay, it just, what it does is it refines the, 1792 Act, Militia Act?
Yes, right.
Basically, it's a refinement on that one.
Right.
There were actually two
and,
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, good point. Thank you, honey. Jill in Ithaca, you're on with John. Hi, Jill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just to put things in a bit of perspective, since Sandy Hook happened, 2,041 people have died in this country because of gun violence.
Yeah. I mean, Jill, I was saying, I was struck by the fact that I, you know, got to see and talk to Michael Moore last night, and he, I don't know if you saw him, he was so powerful, he was on after the Aurora shooting, and he said, I'm not doing this again. I'm not going to come on one more TV show and talk about this and what we should do and what, you know, because look at what's happened since then, right, since Aurora.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like, you know, and it's, we have to do something more than we're doing. And I don't understand why there can't be a counterpart. There are responsible gun owners. I don't know why they can't form another association not affiliated with the NRA, which are the gun manufacturers who don't care how many people die as long as they sell their products.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we also have no way of knowing how many members are in the NRA because they still count deceased members as active members. So the numbers are a bit inflated.
And they haven't. I'm guessing they haven't taken the guns from their cold dead hands.
What I'm saying is Wayne LaPierre lies about size.
See what you did there.
Definition of active being dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that is a little scary in relation to an NRA member. John Fugelsang, you remain a delight, as always.
Hey, and, always a pleasure.
And if you would like to see John Fugelsang live, you can do that. April 13th on stage at the Chicago Theater, along with Hal Sparks and I, for Sexy Liberal, the big and Midwest show.
Monday through Thursday at 8 p.m. on Eastern Time on Current TV with Viewpoint. Have
right
a big week coming up.
Here on the Current Television Network. Love you, John Fugelsang.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right, honey.
Bye, John.
29
Bye.
Minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have a problem with authority.
Stephanie Miller.
You believe that you are special, that somehow the rules do not apply to you.
Right.
Obviously, you are mistaken.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. We're just having Oscar Pistorius fights during the commercial breaks. To me, that's the most damning thing that about the whole thing, right? That the bathroom door was locked.
Right.
Why would she lock the bathroom? Who does that? Who goes in the bathroom and locks the door?
Anybody who's scared. So it could have been her, or he could have thought it was an intruder who...
No, but why would she lock the door if she's going to the bathroom in the middle of the night? Unless, that's what I'm saying, but to me that's...
Well, maybe she has... Scared. Maybe she has...
Privacy issues?
Yes.
Right. But if
pee
you
shy.
Think your partner's asleep in the middle of the night, who goes and locks the door?
You never know. She could be
it's
pee shy.
It's a force of habit.
Like you.
I am pee shy.
I know you are.
You are speculating that she must have had to tickle her butt to pee as well? Oops, did I blurt that out again?
A little, yeah. Okay. Well,
I do.
Also,
I do.
It might be a little too soon.
To relax my area.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Scott in Alabama. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah. I was calling about the whole debate about video games.
Yes.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is, okay, I'm an avid gamer and I also used to work at GameStop, which is the largest retailer of video games in the United States.
Uh-huh.
Okay, pretty much every major retailer in the U.S. has a policy that you must present a photo ID to purchase a mature-rated game.
I mean, and what is the age limit?
It's, you have to be 18 or older to purchase a game.
Well, it depends on the game, too.
Yeah. Well, the issue with a lot of minors playing video games is actually the parents. Mm-hmm. Because when I worked at GameStop, pretty much every parent that ever came in, if you told them what the content was within, again, say, Grand Theft Auto or Halo or whatever, they did not care. I mean, I actually had parents tell me, oh, I'm not worried about the violence. I just wanted to mute the game because I don't want to hear from cutscenes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I get his point, right? You have to have an ID and you have to be a certain age.
Well,
it's a bi-rated game. I mean.
Well, yeah, but it's like a movie theater. I mean, not every movie theater checks. You know, it's all voluntary. It's not a law.
Keith in South Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Keith.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say that I'm probably against a lot of things you guys are for, and that I'm 99% conservative. But let me say this: that the gun deal in Sandy Hook, I am a member of the NRA. I have some high-powered rifles because I do a lot of big gun hunting. My wife has to travel from our home to Charlotte once a week, which is an hour and a half ride, so she has a weapons permit. There is no reason why people shouldn't have to register their weapons
yep.
with a federal agency or a government agency. And if you don't register your weapon and you're caught, then you should be sentenced to prison.
Yeah. Well, see, Keith, you described yourself as 99% conservative. In my mind, I think the polls bear this out, this shouldn't be a conservative or a liberal issue. It's a common sense issue. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's that. It's the fact that I'm a high school principal. I have an SRO in my high school. Okay, a school resource officer. I have two kids in elementary school that, do not have SROs on their officers. One thing I've said at a board meeting is, hey, there are a lot of guys coming back from Afghanistan and Vietnam or Iraq
that know how to handle tough situations, and they need jobs. What would be a problem with putting one of those guys that goes through a legal background check just like a school teacher?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, Keith, Barbara Boxer out here, you know, who you'd consider a liberal, has proposed the National Guard. I mean, again, I've said this over and over. I'm not a parent. I think you got to look at everything on this issue, because you're not going to fix it overnight, no matter what it is. I mean, you're not going to fix mental health and guns and all of that overnight. And, you know, it's the last thing you want to see is another Sandy Hook. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what it's doing, shall
okay.
we, kids? Yeah, why not? Rush Limbaugh, is he ashamed to be an American again?
Oh,
there's so
yeah.
many. I bet the Dominican Republic would love to have him.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in my life, I am ashamed of my country. To be watching all of this, to be treated, to have my intelligence, all of us, to have our common sense and intelligence insulted the way it's being. Seriously, man. I mean, here we get worked up over $44 billion. That's the total amount of money that will not be spent that was scheduled to be spent.
Scheduled.
Didn't he blow a cochlear when Michelle Obama said that she was finally proud to be an American or
right.
something like that?
Right.
So why aren't people blowing gaskets over this?
It's yeah. different where I do it.
I don't know why
see.
He's. So what does he make a year? 20 million, something like that?
A gajillion dollars.
Yeah. Somehow all the people that will lose their jobs from this, somehow he's remarkably unconcerned about
right.
that.
Yeah.
Weird.
I got mine, Jack.
Okay. Sean Hannity.
Here we live in the greatest country that God gave man. It is
God?
Embarrassing that so many people are suffering needlessly. It's embarrassing with our wealth and all we have that 50 million Americans are on food stamps. 1 in 6 Americans are in poverty. It's embarrassing we import oil when we have more oil than Iran, Iraq, and Saudi
right.
Arabia combined. It's embarrassing when the president is a demagogue and goes around the world apologizing for America.
So, Sean Hannity's embarrassed to be an American as well.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe they should decide on a country together.
Yeah,
like to go.
Maybe.
How about the libertarian paradise of Somalia?
I dare say America is embarrassed of them, too.
We return the feeling.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Bill O'Reilly.
He was just complaining that it was the richest country in the world and we can't take care of people. Whose fault is that?
The Republicans.
Yeah. It's a lack of will, not
yeah.
a lack
yes.
of resources.
Thank you. Bill O'Reilly.
In 2012, documents show that sensitivity seminars were held at least 16 times, costing the taxpayer hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm. So my question is,
we can't afford sensitivity.
Why is this happening? It's a total waste of taxpayer money
what?
And insulting to the country. Talking Points believes the reason stuff like this goes on is the culture of liberalism that has now gripped Washington. With a liberal president and Senate, the message has gone out. Progressive thought is in.
So we should be insensitive?
Sensitivity is French and gay.
We should be insensitive because
we should take our cue from Bill O'Reilly
right.
and just sexually harass
yeah.
all kinds of underlings.
It's the way it's done. This is America.
Okay. All right, Steve Doocy, Fox and Friends.
And you can thank Al Gore for this one.
Oh,
Al Jazeera, the network that celebrated 9/11, coming to
what?
More
Wait
American cities. Is this just a
oh,
Trojan
boy.
Horse for terror?
Huh?
When
did
they
Sean
ever
Elvis
celebrate? Has an idea. She joins us promptly.
You idiot.
Wait a minute.
Al Jazeera is not fundamentalist.
They did not celebrate
9/11.
No. Wow.
He did not offer any proof of...
You think we know, because like, apparently we're inside the Trojan horse.
Yeah. Yeah, we're activating sleeper cells as we speak.
I guess so. Yikes.
Ooh.
And the code is...
Sensitivity.
Okay. All right. Is that really his name, Joe Bastardi?
Joe Bastardi.
Wow.
Yes.
It's plural
bastard.
He's a Bastardi
person.
Yes,
he's
a Fox News meteorologist.
Apparently he's several bastards.
Yes.
Bastardi.
Well, I think what we have to fear is the people who are stirring up fear, and there's no greater example than that than the issue of weather and climate as to what is actually driving this. We're seeing a weather pattern very similar to the 1950s, where the Pacific began its cooling cycle, the Atlantic was still warm, and when that happens, you see certain things happen. Big droughts in the center of the country during the summer season, heat waves, a lot of hurricanes along the eastern seaboard, and also a lot of blocking that goes on. The end game of this winter, you could see it happen in 1956, 1958,
wow.
1960. It actually happened in 69 most recently, 2010, where we had all that snow that fell in February and early March, and then bam, it snaps,
snow.
And spring comes.
So it's
a natural cyclone, natural thing. And if you study
sakes,
the weather,
really?
Hey,
there's a Fox News weatherman, really?
The ice caps are melting. Wake up.
Fox News would only hire climate change deniers
as weathermen.
Right.
Yeah.
So they'll eventually be doing the weather from Waterworld.
Yeah. Drinking their own pee. And that's what they did in Waterworld.
I know.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all. They were surrounded by salt water.
Flat. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Michael Ferris, Christian Youth Crosstalk.
Yes. That's,
it's a thing.
That's a show.
Sure.
For homeschooling itself specifically, you know, we've seen executive orders on lots of different subjects. And so if President Obama gets it in his head that he's going to issue an executive order to ban homeschooling.
What?
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't put it past that administration to try something like that, especially as they get closer to the, you know, the end of this 4-year term.
What are you smoking?
You know, they're capable of anything. I mean, who knows?
Sure. Just, well, right after Orrin Hatch said he's going to repeal the Second Amendment.
What?
Yeah, then he's also going to ban homeschooling.
I don't think homeschooling is on his radar.
It could happen. It's like right-wing Judy Tenuta's. It could happen.
Could happen.
The president could do anything. He is capable of doing anything.
I'm sorry, but the right is nothing but a bunch of paranoid crazies now.
Yeah, exactly. It's hypothetical land.
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
Right.
Obama's going to repeal the law of gravity.
That's
and we'll all just float into space.
That's why I didn't talk there, so they had an edit point.
Exactly.
I'm a helper. Bill in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hey, the official courier driver of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
How come you haven't delivered my package yet?
Yeah.
Because I don't work for the post office. I get it wrong.
Oh, okay.
How about tomorrow? Oh, it's Saturday. Never mind.
I have been adopted. I have been adopted by the 1 million moms against gun violence as a token dad.
What do you mean?
I am now part of the million moms against gun violence, but I'm a dad.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you all right? You're man enough to admit it. Woohoo! She's very excited. He's celebrating.
Yeah.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Funny how? Funny like she's a clown? Like she's here to amuse you? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I need a lover that won't drive me crazy. I need a lover that won't drive me mad. I need a lover that won't drive me crazy. Somewhere on the
middle of the highway. Ha ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Alan in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the gun debate. Hey, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just, here in the great state of Texas, I can, you know, have a concealed gun license, but it just seems ironic, you know, the right talks about, you know, people getting killed with knives. In Texas, I can't carry a blade over 3.5 inches on me. I can't carry a concealed lead pipe. I can't carry brass knuckles. I can't carry a blackjack. You know,
wow.
Someone's fixing to beat the hell out of me. You know, I can shoot him, you know, but I can't defend myself with, you know, brass knuckles or blackjack.
Wow, that's an interesting point. That really is. That's, you know, again, whether it's liability stuff, Jim, why are guns the only thing we can't regulate? We can't do anything.
We have no amendments for, you know, sharp objects.
The Second Amendment applies to arms. Arms can be guns, or it can be anything that you use as a weapon.
Just saying that you could.
And so why is
But all of that other stuff isn't regulated.
Right. It's because of the NRA and their lobby.
Right. Exactly. Let's go to Lee in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
I'm calling about a study I saw. It's by a guy named Richard Wilkinson. I believe he's out of England. He did a TED Talk on social inequality.
Right.
And if you look it up, it's a great TED Talk, and it lets you basically, he explains that violence, along with so many of other social ills, are caused because of income inequality and the lack of trust that it creates. Mm. It's kind of funny because if you watch, like, Norway has almost no gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have almost no, their income inequality is so much different than ours.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you know, I was saying, I hung out with Michael Moore last night as I keep name dropping over and over because I'm obnoxious.
Yeah. And Ron Howard.
No, but he, and Ron Howard.
And Melissa Fitzgerald.
That's right. Hot Brie. I was going to say, yeah, but no, he wrote a very comprehensive piece about all, it was a really thoughtful piece about all of the components that go into our gun problem. And one of them, Jim, we talked about that, about him, and you said it the other day about that we don't, it's not just income inequality, but we don't take care of each other.
Well, right. In Canada, yeah. They have plenty of guns, but they're not afraid because they have a government that takes care of its people. They don't have this paranoia of people.
Right, and a lot of this problem, too, even somebody, one of the Sandy Hook families, remember, was saying, and that was, I mean, can you imagine, they lost their kid, but they were, like, thinking, what if we had reached out to Adam Lanza? They lived, you know, across the street or something, and it's these people that are loners, and, you know, that we don't, for some reason, all these people are just getting lost in our society.
But you know what? Every block has that loner family.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they don't all kill people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Sean in Sacramento. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Stephanie. I just wanted to say I listen to a lot of conservative talk radio.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, but someone has to monitor it.
I listen, so you don't have to, but that's go ahead then.
Well, no, but I want to point out something, too, that it's kind of funny that liberals are often criticized for disliking the military, not supporting them. You know, we've been branded as this anti-military, anti-armed forces, party. But yet the funny thing is the Republicans are continually talking about having to arm ourselves against a government and a military takeover.
Right.
You know, from our volunteer armed forces that apparently have plans to round us up and put us into FEMA camps.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think, like, how can you say that as a Democrat or a leftist that you have a low opinion of the military and don't respect them when, to some degree, they're vilifying them on, you know, much higher, on a much higher level?
Well, it's hard for most of us to have an appreciation of the military that Ted Cruz does. Senator Cruz, who has not served, but seems to like to talk about how John Kerry and Chuck Hagel.
The military is full of right-wingers like Tammy Duckworth. Oh, wait, no, that's not true.
Ron in Minnesota. Hello, Ron.
Hello. I just wanted to just make a couple of quick points. I am behind the president and all of the plans and things that he would like to get done. And I will keep working on doing what I can to help the president out. But I don't see a lot of hope in him getting things passed through because this Republican crazies absolutely hate.
Your tea is done.
Your tea is done, or you're cutting through a bike frame with a bandsaw. Or Sarah Palin's on your TV.
Talking,
I'm sorry. Did you repeat that again? I'm sorry.
That's all right. Never mind. I don't know what that was. But I thought we should get off the phone so he could go attend to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Before your kettle explodes.
All right. Here's the Republicans' latest clever plan. They coalesced around a clever plan to make looming spending cuts much less draconian. This from Talking Points Memo. The GOP's emerging legislative fix to the sequester is both counterintuitive and clever in that nefarious way. It probably won't force Democrats to abandon their insistence that the coming automatic cuts be replaced in part by new revenue. Senate Republicans, along with influential conservative commentators, are proposing to provide federal agency heads the flexibility they currently lack to allocate the sequester's cuts at their discretion. The irony is, in the near term, the GOP's proposed fix would delegate a great deal of authority to the executive branch and thus to President Obama.
Go back. Why are conservative commentators?
Because they run the party now. Aside from a potential flaw, it's a clever idea. In effect, it's a sequester replacement bill minus the political cost of proposing specific alternative cuts to federal programs. Senate Democrats expect Republicans to offer a plan like this as an alternative to their own sequester replacement bill and are poised to vote it down, according to a senior Democratic aide. But it's like the health exchanges. They're like, we're not going to do it. And then that means the government runs it. Yeah. And that was their original argument, that it's a big government plan. It's like, well, then run your own exchange.
See, we told you. Nobody elected those far-right yahoos that are on the radio. I don't understand why they're a part of talks and negotiations to...
Has Senator Barbara Boxer ever asked me what I think that she should do?
Absolutely
of course not.
Not.
Because she's a good senator, for God's sake. All right.
Do congressional Republicans really need the help of right-wing radio yahoos to get legislation passed?
No. In fact, how about this story?
That's insane.
Republican strategists doubt the wisdom of hammering Obama over Benghazi. Republican strategists now questioning why the party is continuing to focus on Benghazi. Republican strategist Ed Rogers said, I missed the meeting among Republicans where it was decided this would become an angry cause celeb that would be pursued at all costs and with no holds barred. I think there is Benghazi fatigue. A lot of conscientious followers of the news are somewhat bewildered by why this issue has lingered. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
And I guess it's become exclusively, like you said, Chris, about Southern Belle Lindsey Graham's angry Tea Party primary or something.
Yeah.
It's about butching Lindsey Graham up, pretty much. And his wingman, John McCain, is helping him out.
Putting some smelling salts under his nose while he's on the fainting couch.
I mean, in a senatorial sense, lover.
Sure. Senatorial lover.
Right. Lover.
His business boyfriend.
Exactly. That's all I meant by that. That's all I was talking about.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? We have a Rick Scott news, and I think we will do a Jackie's Healthcare Corner.
Oh.
She's just hearing this for the first time right now.
Yes, she is.
After the top of the hour. Call us. Okay. And if you have healthcare questions, let's do a corner. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Yes.
The bail, Oscar Pistorius's bail, was set at $113,000.
Oh, dear.
Which is 1 million rand. In,
right.
Yeah. That seems very low.
That's not a lot.
For someone who's that famous.
Anywho.
All right. Yes.
I have a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes, please.
This portion of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by British Police Uniforms LA. Message. Query not bingable. Is Billy 12 Trees the great grand love child of Helen 12 Trees and Sabu? Query bingable. How to film UK scenes in LA? Answer. British Police Uniforms LA. See our ad in the Oscars issue of Variety.
All right. Fabulous. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there like Charlotte did. Steph, I love your show, the format, Chris, Jim, your music selections, Rocky Mountain Mike, Road Flare Mary. So funny, hard to find the time of the day to watch your recorded show, but if I don't, my life just feels off.
Oh.
You're right, Charlotte. You don't watch the show every day. You're not even sure what's wrong. It's just off. It's just begun to turn.
I'm glad she said she liked the music, because I got an email yesterday saying that our music sucks.
Excuse me. I'm allergic to it.
Art music?
Okay, yes. All right. And also on Stephanie Miller Show Facebook, we put up the pictures of me hanging with, Michael Moore and Ron Howard. And
Melissa Fitzgerald.
Right. It was the United Nations International Labor Organization and Green Jobs Program event. It was a big, fancy thing at Ciccone's in West Hollywood. It's very fancy. It used to be Morton's.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Right.
They closed off the streets for that.
Yes,
I saw a bunch of people complaining on Facebook about that.
Yes.
That they closed off the streets and caused all kinds of panic.
That was us. That was us.
Thanks.
And the third member of the thruple, Jackie Schechner, was supposed to be there, but Shecky went to bed instead so that she could be all spry for the healthcare corner this morning. There we go.
Imagine reading news.
Yes.
I do. I think she gets up in the night.
Right, so she doesn't go out.
The
lights, no.
The only one who didn't fail and got it right,
yes,
was Jackie Schechner. So happy it's Schechner.
Jackie Schechner.
Good morning. I ran by a party tent in my neighborhood yesterday and called Melissa and said, why can't you get invites to that stuff? I can go to the stuff near my house.
I know. And we're luring her over to our side. As Chris said yesterday, nothing good ever happens west of Doheny. All right.
It's true.
Yes, come to the
I know.
East side.
You know what, though? I'm a get-up-early, hike, run, outdoors person, so being in my neighborhood suits me just fine.
Well, Travis and I have to stay holed up in our places because...
You can't come to my Oscar party because you're going to be literally almost in the Oscar.
Pretty much. We really, really can't leave our places because of all the traffic.
Yeah. Jackie Shekna... as we were talking about the earlier, we touched upon it. Governor Rick Scott announced plans Wednesday to expand Medicaid coverage to roughly 900,000 more people under the federal health overhaul, a surprise decision from the vocal critic of President Obama's plan. Here he is yesterday.
While the federal government is committed to paying 100% of the cost, I cannot in good conscience deny Floridians that needed access to health care.
Yeah, Jackie, that's why I don't get why anybody... would turn this down. I love because he said that. He said, well, as long as the government's going to pay 100%, that's the deal.
Right.
Well, it's always been the case. Nothing changed.
Right.
So we have to keep in mind that Rick Scott didn't all of a sudden discover something he didn't know.
Right.
Right.
The federal government has always agreed to pay 100% for the first 3 years and then 90% after that. So this is not new news to Rick Scott, who led the charge to the Supreme Court to not have to comply with those Medicaid requirements.
I love that he makes it sound like it's a demand that the president acceded to. As long as you pay 100% of the cost. It's like, yes, that's been in the bill from the beginning. It's like, okay.
No, it's totally his deteriorating poll numbers. I mean, they were low to begin with, but they're even lower as he gets closer to the possibility of reelection.
Isn't he like in the 30s or something?
I don't know what the exact number is now, but it's like, started low and it hasn't gotten any higher. He's totally unqualified. He bought his way into office. It's astonishing that he even made it. And then on top of that, I mean, this is the man who spent $5 million of his own money to fight against health care reform. He challenged it to the Supreme Court.
Yep.
He's been bad-mouthing it all the way along. And frankly, he ran a hospital company that he made his fortune running the company that defrauded Medicare and had to pay a huge, at the time, it was the largest fine ever.
It is stunning that he's the governor. Anyway, but he said, I mentioned this to you earlier, he said he gained new perspective after his mother's death last year, calling his decision to support a key provision of the Affordable Care Act a compassionate, common-sense step forward. You were saying, unfortunately, You're not buying it.
Of course not. Okay, two things. One, if his mother passed away last year, it took him a heck of a long time to come to this because he was fighting this up until the summer when the Supreme Court made its decision, right? So that, and really, even more recently than that, he's been against it. He didn't take money. If you remember, there was a lot of money that was allocated, billions of dollars allocated to Florida for a railway, a high-speed railway, and he didn't take that money. So it's not about taking free money from the government because he turned that down.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere along the way, those principles have shifted for him. And then the third thing is, coincidentally or not, his decision came at the same time the federal government gave the state of Florida a waiver that would allow them to use some public Medicaid funds for private managed care. What they can do now is use some public money to pay private Medicaid plans. And Rick Scott is a huge fan of privatized care because it's for profit and it's a moneymaker.
Right.
So this Medicaid shift, I may have said Medicare by accident, Medicaid, but this Medicaid shift is totally in line with Rick Scott's principles when it comes to health care, and that's his belief that it should be for profit.
Here is Rick Scott again yesterday.
It doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter what anybody believes. The Supreme Court's already made their decision. Okay. We had an election in the fall. Okay. The public made their decision.
Yeah, I love that he's able to go, well, I'm still not for it, but
Who is this guy? Because this is totally the opposite of everything he's been up until now.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, you thought Mitt Romney was insincere? I mean, really.
And up until now, he's been a really angry Tea Partier type.
Just
really combative, and now all of a sudden he's capitulated to everything.
He's the seventh Republican governor now that's, they see the writing on the wall, right?
Yeah, I mean, they called him healthcare enemy number one during the fight against healthcare reform. We went hard after him when I was with Healthcare for America Now. I mean, the fact that he's now turning around and saying, I believe in the good for the people, is so disingenuous and so dishonest and so shady.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12 for your version of it. Jackie, does this look infected to you? It's a healthcare corner.
To be totally honest, there's a lot of stuff I know, and because the law is very large and has a lot of provisions that some of them are still being worked out, the details are. There's some stuff I don't know. So I'm happy
That's not true, everybody.
No, that's not true. She knows everything.
I'm happy to help you find the answers when I don't.
All right. Don't pay no attention.
That's the answer you're supposed
to give. Pay no
attention
to her false humility. Diane in Michigan, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead. Hi, Diane.
Yeah, I like the show.
Thank you.
I was wondering, my question is for Jackie about Medicare. Is there a cap on Medicare like there is on Social Security, or does everyone pay into it?
Everybody pays into it, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody pays into Medicare.
I heard on Tom Hartman's program that the people on Facebook were getting their money through dividends with stock, and I was wondering, they don't pay into Medicare when they do it that way.
So I don't know how Facebook. I'm not sure. I know how that works.
She's not sure. I will say that she's not in charge of Facebook.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Otherwise, she knows everything about everything.
I mean, I use the Facebook the same way I use the interwebs and
right,
the Google.
Right, but you're not an employee or anything.
No, I don't know how their HR department and payroll.
Right.
Rich in Minneapolis, you're on with Jackie. Hey, Rich.
Yep. Somehow I remember Scott owned healthcare businesses, and he turned them over to his wife, and he made profits off of the drug testing or, you know, supposed or proposed drug testing for the state. So he will probably, or his wife will probably, make money off of this healthcare system if he accepts it. So this isn't anything, you know, that he's doing for the people. He's doing it for himself, I'm guessing.
Mm. Yeah, Jackie,
yeah, he does own clinics, and he did turn those over to his wife, or at least transferred the inherent ownership of those.
How do these guys get away with that? Oh, it's not mine. It's the little wifey's. So I don't have anything to do with that anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure she goes and visits them daily.
yeah, exactly. All right, Jackie, before you go, yeah. I always like to do a story about, you know, somebody that has a worse love life than me. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Because Jackie's so intertwined with your love life.
Well.
Well, I'm a little busy.
If
now.
I had my way,
the guy with the colander hat. So.
I thought your husband, right? The guy with the pasta strainer on his head.
Oh, yesterday, because you sprung that on me. I had no idea that story was coming.
Right.
And yesterday, I thought of so many jokes I could have put out there and just missed entirely. Like, you know, his match profile, like noodle seeking noodle. You know,
yeah.
Noodle seek sauce.
This one gawker brings us, Jackie. Woman caught having sex with pit bull in backyard, undeterred by presence of police officers.
Yeah.
What?
Now, let me say I'm a dog lover. However, police in police in Las Vegas were called to the home of a 23-year-old woman earlier this week after her neighbors complained she was having sex with a pit bull in broad daylight in her own backyard.
Oh my God.
It just gets a little better. When cops arrived at the scene, they found her naked and on the ground, engaging in an unspecified sexual act with the dog.
Unspecified because they couldn't figure it out?
Or they'd rather not say.
They just don't want to say. They'd rather not say.
They're like, we've never seen that before. We have no name for it.
This part will shock you. She appeared to be on drugs. Greeted officers with a hi and proceeded to touch the dog in a sexual way.
This was not in Florida?
No, this was Las Vegas.
No.
Well,
right? What are the chances? This was not...
I hope he had a muzzle on.
She reportedly told the officer she was bipolar and claimed to be on prescription medication.
Bipolar and bi-species.
Yeah.
More bi than... Yeah. A lot of bi's, actually.
Now, you've tongue-kissed Max and Fred, but you've never done that.
I don't always do this. Sometimes it's the cat. Yeah. What? No!
But I won't do that.
Yikes.
Yeah. You would do anything for love, but you won't do that, Stephanie.
The weirdest part of that story is the hi. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Hi.
I'll be with you in a minute.
Anyone trying to join?
Yeah, just let me finish him off.
Oh!
What?
Whoa!
Did I go too far?
Yes. Hickory duck.
Sorry.
All right.
Did they arrest her? Did she get collared?
Jackie Schechner. See what you've done? You've sullied a perfectly good corner. All
right. Wait a minute. She sullied a good corner?
No, you did.
Oh. Oops.
I love you, Jackie Schechner.
Love you guys, too.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. There she goes. Little Jackie Schechner.
Have fun at the dog park.
I'm going cruising at the dog park later. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Funny how... Funny like she's a clown, like she's here to amuse you. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You're every woman? Really?
Every single one. Mm-hmm. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Bob in Chicago writes, Steph, I'd like to be the official Stephanie Miller Show something. Please feel free to appoint me any title you wish, knowing that if you read this, I will be the happiest human on the planet. Hmm. Oh, well, you're the official happiest human on the planet, Stephanie Miller Show, but not as happy as you'll be when you go to Sexy Liberal at the Chicago Theater April 13th. Get your tickets now.
Sexyliberal.com. Oh,
thank you. Sexy Liberal on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you. Joe in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Couple things on the sequester.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of this, we don't have to agree on anything. They passed the law. They can just say, we're going to repeal the law.
Right.
They can just vote to say, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that Karl Rove has, this is kind of a neat strategy for them, is said that the House should pass a bill that says the sequester will continue, but they'll give the president the authority to choose where the cuts come. So that every time he says, I'm going to cut this, they can do a press release saying, today, President Obama cut this.
Right, forcing him to make the hard choices, right.
Right, and then beat him up with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's the thing, is they're only interested in how they can win politically. They're not interested in what's actually good for the country, mm-hmm. or what's the most, you know, logical way to govern. Let's go to Veronica in Jacksonville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Veronica.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'm a little nervous. I've never called in before.
Don't be nervous.
But when I think of that Rick Scott, I had to call in.
Okay.
After what he did at the polling places during the election.
Yep.
And after President Obama got elected, he started running scared, came here in Jacksonville because we have a black mayor, and marched in the Martin Luther King parade with him.
Mm-hmm.
And if that wasn't bad enough, on the news that night, there he is trying to learn how to do this dance called the wobble. It's some kind of new line dance with two black guys.
Oh, man. Like, like people are, you know, like people understand that photo ops are the same things as actually, you know, enacting policy that people can get behind. I mean, I know those lines were just a disgrace in Florida and the voter suppression. Dave in Florida as well. Not a lot of Rick Scott fans in Florida calling
Not
this
at all.
Morning. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steph and guys. Love you guys immensely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I called because I heard you talk about Rick Scott, too, and I'm a little nervous, actually, because I hate the guy. I'm in hell politically because of it. But he has this year done three things, just like Jackie said, that are disingenuous and a total flip-flop, but really good things. He expanded Medicare.
Right. Medicaid,
he also, as the last caller said, he came back after the elections and said, oh, my, we really must do something about this. And he's going to take actions to fix what he broke in the first place, and he has decided to give all teachers in Florida a pretty nice raise, which they all deserve. And he caused, after cutting and hacking their pay too. And yes, it's disingenuous and it's a political stunt, but it's got to help his chances politically. It makes me nervous. It's early,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
you know what I mean. Because that's how Marco Rubio won his Senate seat, in part, you know, it was such an ugly election, and there was nothing but sharp elbows being thrown, and Marco ran ads that were a soft touch, and it was a nice, and the nice music, and he went the other direction in his ads, and it was almost refreshing, because it was such an otherwise ugly campaign, and in Florida, we're just drowned in ads, of course.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Anyway.
I know what you mean.
All.
Yeah, I know. Is people going to buy the photo ops is what you're saying. Alice in Madison. Hey, Alice, welcome.
Hi, things are pretty bad when Rick Scott's looking pretty good, but I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, and our governor refused to expand health care to those uninsured and instead came out with this, what he called a hybrid plan, which is supposed to insure a lot more of the uninsured, and I'm not buying it. He had a hybrid plan to destroy the Department of Commerce, and the result was like $4 or $5 million went missing. So that's how successful that's been.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's sad when we're looking. Rick Scott's looking good.
Yeah, right. Because he was at one point, they were all battling each other for the lowest approval rating. All these Republican governors,
yeah,
right? Snyder and
yeah.
Joe in
makes
Arizona.
You wrinkle your nose.
Joe in Arizona. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
Hey, I can't believe that they elected Scott in Florida, governor, when he had 14 charges of Medicare fraud, the biggest in history.
That, Jackie and I were just talking about it. It stuns me that he got to be governor.
Paid $1.7 billion in fines. I thought that would be a felony that he can't be elected to a position like that.
Yeah. One would think, wouldn't one?
Yeah. It just goes to show you the mentality of the people in Florida. It has to be that.
Well, not to cast aspersions on an entire state, but just saying Florida. Crazy cap fits.
Yeah.
Mike in Chicago real quick. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Just calling to see if you guys have heard the last Paul Krugman speech that he gave.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, the darling of the left was talking about health care and how by 2025 there's not going to be any money to pay for the health care program. So most likely they're going to have to raise the taxes on the middle class and institute, in his words, and I shouldn't say because I'll get in trouble, but death panels.
I doubt very much that Paul Krugman used the term death panels, but we'll go research that.
I don't think that's unlikely.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless he's doing it ironically.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a lot of fellows who follow every fad that comes along. But there are also always a few who, who have enough individuality to sort of go their own way. You know what I mean, Wally?
Yeah, just like
Stephanie Miller.
Yes! It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste. Love it! Nothing works faster and lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste are available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
That's some good stuff.
It's not that sickly sweet kind of like
blue stuff.
Blue stuff.
The lozenges are my favorite.
I know.
I'm going through a whole box of them.
The mouth-wetting lozenges.
Yeah,
they're better than gum because gum, it's not good for your stomach, you know, yada, yada.
Yes.
Well, if you swallow it.
Excuse me?
Gum?
Well, gum promotes a lot of swallowing, and so you get a lot of...
Right. It's not good for if you have acid reflux like I do.
I see. Interesting.
Okay. Thank you.
That's what we're trying to say.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's male version of someone with a worse love life than me.
Okay.
Man in Kentucky arrested for breaking into firehouse, allegedly masturbating on fireman's gear.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
That's I have said firemen. It's not a partisan thing or a sexuality thing. Firemen are just hot, right?
They're hot. Yeah, well,
just hot.
I can't
fireman
say that.
Fireman fantasies, just hot.
I come from a family of firefighters, so it's just like grandpa for me.
Last weekend, 27-year-old Nicholas Gonzalez.
I come from a family of arsonists. So.
Well, then, we should talk.
He did not. Jim Moore does not come from a family.
I know.
Got drunk in Louisville, Kentucky, broke into a nearby firehouse. When firefighters went to investigate, he was reportedly masturbating onto their gear, which he'd removed from their lockers. Why was he doing that? He said, because I wanted to.
So when they discovered him, I suspect they threw him down the hole without the pole.
You know, insurance regulations dictate that firehouses no longer have poles.
They don't have fire poles anymore?
They don't have fire poles anymore.
So disillusioned.
Well, it's the insurance companies that caused that.
Should have a bat pole.
Oh, the stupid lawyers.
Something. Hey, this doesn't seem right. Whistleblower fired for revealing cops who threatened Obama while protecting him.
Mm, yeah.
A Richmond police officer reported fellow cops for allegedly threatening President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama has been fired from his job.
They fired the wrong guy.
Yeah. The officer blew the whistle on a 20-year department veteran and other members of the Richmond force after they made inappropriate comments while providing protection to the President and First Lady.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, the whistleblower told WTBR he had been fired for violating department policy by doing an interview with the station. An employment attorney pointed out that the officer should have been protected under the First Amendment because he was speaking about a matter of public concern as a citizen. Who could be debasing the way we speak about the president in this country? Oh, look, it's a story about Ted Nugent, everybody.
Great.
Ted Nugent, I don't understand why anyone, seeing that I cover what someone else covered about what he said. Ted Nugent explained, on WorldNet Daily, so you know it was more reasoned than his usual. He said, in his view, African Americans should become Republicans because Democrats have raped and plundered Black America forever. He's calling his 2013 tour Ted Nugent Black Power. apparently building on his theme that African Americans should become Republicans. One of his recent columns says he's tired of Jesse Jackson and Al Not So Sharpton. Oh, that's clever. Appearing in the media and lisping their Ebonic mumbo jumbo about politics. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. His column
This is why African Americans generally aren't Republicans anymore.
Right, because of Ted Nugent.
Yeah. People like that.
His column taps into a particular strain of conservative thought prevalent among Tea Partiers who say that health care, food, and housing assistance to the poor and needy family is actually a form of slavery.
Ah, right.
Just exactly like
just
that.
Just like slavery.
Just exactly like that.
Oof.
Okay.
That hurt.
That hurt my heart.
That hurt my heart.
As my mom's friend used to say, although she was referring to John Travolta playing a woman in Hairspray.
Well, bless your heart.
That hurt my heart. John Travolta played a woman.
Really?
Yes. Okay.
What about Jack Lemmon playing
and
a woman? Tony Curtis playing a woman.
That was pre-masseuse.
Yeah.
You know, situation.
Boy.
All right. Laura Bush asked gay marriage equality group to remove her from the ad campaign. Boo, Pickles, boo.
Calling her Pickles doesn't help.
Well, she's already ticked me off. The ad opens with a clip from 2010 featuring her telling Larry King she supports gay marriage and abortion rights. She says in the clip, when couples are committed to each other and love each other, they ought to have the same rights as everyone else has. They just used a bunch of prominent Americans who expressed thoughts like that, including Dick Cheney and Colin Powell. And
it kind of made it seem like they were speaking for that particular organization, though.
No, it seemed, you know, it was prominent American leaders speaking about that issue. I think it was... Whatever.
Yeah, and you know, the organization, you know, they're doing the right thing by removing her from the ad because she asked.
Right, yeah. So they said we respect
her wishes.
Right.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, boo, Pickles!
Which is why I said yesterday that it would be way more impressive if these particular people actually sat down and made an ad for this organization rather than, you know, this organization just taking clips from various places.
Right. Well, but it wasn't, like, totally out of context. She was talking about marriage equality.
It wasn't.
Yeah. All right. Daniel Craig says he is nothing like James Bond. He said he's different from his on-screen character in every way. He was asked how he's different. He's every way, nothing. That man has nothing to do with me. Nothing at all. Why do I'm guessing that Sir Sean Connery would have some thoughts on this?
So, Daniela is different from James Bond in every way. Tell us something we don't know, you daft cow. I knew you were a pillock when you admitted he couldn't work a stick shift. What sort of manky git drives an automatic? A real man knows how to double clutch. It all started going downhill when some prat invented the synchromesh transmission. What, you need someone to wipe your ass for you as well? Why didn't you hire a knob washer while you're at it?
Oh, God.
I swear, Judy Dench has bigger bollocks than you. Away and bile your head, you gormless berk. I'll be sure.
A cold finger.
He seems somewhat bitter about me.
He seems cranky.
Anymore. Goodness.
I'm an old man. Of course I'm cranky.
An old Scottish man.
It's from dragging his yam sacks through the brambles for so many years. As we previously learned.
Perhaps I should rethink this no underwear policy when wearing a coat.
Perhaps you should cover the yam sacks. Okay. Lady Gaga has undergone a hip surgery and thanked fans.
How old is she?
One of her hips is one of Liza Minnelli's old ones.
Oh, okay.
That's what they use for the replacement.
She needs a hip replacement?
Yeah, she. I don't know. She had.
She's
some
not hip
of,
enough, apparently.
Apparently
she
not.
To replace her hip.
See what she did there. Okay. Well, it's Oscar weekend. Arnold Schwarzenegger in South Korea promoting his latest flop overseas, The Last Stand. Anybody?
Nobody saw that.
No. The movie bombed with U.S. audiences. He said in Seoul that he tries to pick projects that, quote, could be popular not only in America but all over the world.
Could be.
In this case, were not popular. Sucked in America and also all over the world.
What does Korean sound like with an Austrian accent? That is just, wow.
Good news is he's not still running California, so there's that.
Actually, they had me dubbed into Korean so people wouldn't understand me.
I'm sure in South Korea they wonder what American sounds like with an Austrian accent. So there. Hmm. How meta is that?
Hmm. All right. Steven Spielberg, is he favored to win the Oscar for Best Director for Lincoln? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Well, he can console himself on his $200 million yacht. that was spotted in Fort Lauderdale this week.
Wow.
Dwarfing everything else in the water. Would you like to know what it includes?
Sure. The fun facts?
Yes, because you can rent it for $1.3 million a week, so you'll want to know, well, what does that come with?
You need to rent that for the Stephanie Miller Christmas party.
I'm guessing a screening room is...
Yes, infinity pool, 15-foot movie screen,
gym,
spa, helipad.
How can you have an infinity pool on a boat that rocks back and forth?
I don't... Listen, don't ask questions. Just...
Okay,
check.
Okay.
The yacht measures 282 feet in length, so you probably won't need a bigger boat after all.
Because
he directed Jaws.
Yeah.
But they did need a bigger boat. But you don't need no one needs a bigger boat than that. That was my point about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of Oscar talk, all right, we're doing balance at my Oscar party Sunday. I
would be there if I could get there.
No, you're going to be in almost the bowels of the Oscars. So
pretty much.
Good luck with your traffic.
Thanks. Right now, all the streets are closed off around me, and it's just hell to get around.
All right. Everybody's nomination, guesses for Best Picture. I think it's going to... Well, Argo, Les Mis, or Lincoln, I think, are the... Silver Linings Playbook isn't going to win, is it? No.
No, I think Lincoln's going to win.
Zero Dark Thirty.
I think Lincoln's going to win.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, too. I think Zero Dark Thirty, too much politics, too much controversy. Lead actor... Who are we picking? Bradley Cooper, Daniel Day-Lewis, Hugh Jackman.
Daniel Day-Lewis by far.
Yeah, I think so too. Lead actress, Jessica Chastain, Jennifer Lawrence, and then three people, I don't know who they are. Oh, except for Naomi Watts.
There's been some buzz about Naomi Watts lately.
Really?
Apparently she gives a completely harrowing performance.
In The Impossible?
Yeah, it's about the family that's torn apart by the tsunami.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, apparently it's just a harrowing performance.
Jennifer Lawrence was the best thing in what I thought was an otherwise irritating movie. I like parts of it, but... Again, just I didn't get the logic of it.
I'm speaking out of my eyes because I've only seen Les Mis.
I have the screener. I told
you
I'll give it to you.
But I need to come over and do your IT work.
Right. How else can I need to bribe you to do anything? Come do my IT work, and I will give you the screener. Okay.
Oh, God.
Let's do a quick one here. Charlotte in Fresno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Charlotte.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I wanted to let you know that you are correct about violent computer games.
Thank you.
The Bible talks about by beholding, you become changed, and what you behold, you become.
Oh. Hmm. I'm not sure they were referring to violent video games.
I don't think so. They weren't invented.
Arlene, I think with a more cogent point on guns, writes, Steph, Gail Trotter and her guns help moms protect kids in the home is insane. My ex brought a gun home years ago, and my first thought was, oh, Lord, the only person he's going to shoot with that thing is me. So when he went to work the next day, I hid the bullets. Soon the day came when he fought with my oldest son, his stepson, and sure enough, he went for the gun. Thank God I hid the bullets,
wow,
or my son would be dead.
Wow.
Statistically, she's got a point.
Sure.
Okay. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
She was abandoned by wolves and raised by Republicans. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Uh-oh, I'm going down the OJ hole with this
curious
thing. I'm starting to get...
You're getting sucked in.
I just invited Marcia Clark to my Oscar party.
We should get her on this show to talk
about
it.
Yes. Oh, she's awesome.
Yeah, I love her.
None of this makes sense to me. Mr. Pistorius claimed he dragged himself toward the bathroom while screaming at the intruder to get out of his house. Well, wouldn't she have screamed back, it's me? I mean, I don't...
Maybe he was screaming so loud he couldn't hear her.
Perhaps. The door was locked from the inside. Normally you don't do that unless you're scared. I'm just saying. Okay. Sandy, right, Steph, we are kindred spirits. I also ended up with a jart in the top of my head. I must have held on too long, and it went straight up in the air, and I didn't know where it went. But I died laughing when you talked about you're not the only spaz. Yeah, well, see, that's different. I contend mine is a little spazzier because she at least let go of the jart. I didn't let go of the jart. I actually buried the jart in the top of my own head while still attached to my hand. I didn't get the part. I don't know. I just forgot to let go.
How do you do that?
I was a little spaz.
You didn't bury it into your head.
Yeah, well, I kind of.
You just beamed yourself. You didn't like... Like, it wasn't sticking out of your head.
The last instruction was,
okay,
let go of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this thing that way. Oops.
Clank.
Huh?
No, it didn't stick in there.
Well, that's the impression you've given all these years.
Oh, like a comedy arrow
through the
head?
Yeah, exactly.
If I actually had a dart through my head, I wouldn't be here talking.
But that's what I was expecting. You know, I figured that.
Connie, I wouldn't have survived to have my brother hang me.
Here it comes.
No.
Ow.
Connie in Florida. Hi, Connie.
Hi.
Hello. Go ahead.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Got one more thing to say about Rick Scott.
Yes. And or who doesn't? There's can always one
on
more
radio?
Thing.
He is not going to get reelected, but this is what I got to say. The voters voted in high-speed rail a long time ago.
Right.
And then the Republican legislature, and he nixed it.
Right.
He's actually turned down federal money to do it. Okay. So his main focus has been widening our ports so we can get all this business from the Panama Canal.
Right.
Right. We don't have the infrastructure to haul the freight.
That's true.
Here.
I know. Duh.
Duh. Wow. What do I do with all this freight?
And
duh.
Governor Scott released a statement saying,
herp, derp. Just pour it all in Rick Scott's front yard.
Rick Scott?
Rick Scott.
Herb,
Rick Scott.
Linden, Florida. It's
another Rick Scott fan.
It's Rick Scott Pinata Day on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It really is. I mean, I wanted to thank him because he was in bed with the insurance industry that ruined the real estate market here. Right. Because I went from $3,700 a year insurance. Now I'm up to $5,700, and he told me they're not going to stop it at a 38% cap.
Wow.
I love Rick Scott.
Yeah, he's a peach, that Skeletor. Let's go to...
And he's oily looking. Every time, he's very shiny. It's just like he's been dipped in baby oil or
something.
Maybe
he's a reptile.
He looks like
hiding.
He over-moisturized.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Brenda in Virginia. Hi, Brenda. Hello, Brenda. Hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to call in and talk about, you know, all these... I've been a liberal all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two sons, actually. One of them is more like me. The other one is a right-winging gun-toter. Don't know where I went wrong with him. But my main gripe is, and I'm wondering, how do we get around these gerrymandering laws that have put these ridiculous, you know, right-wingers in office?
Yeah.
And
Brenda,
just,
you know what?
You know,
stay tuned. We're going to next week have a good friend of ours wrote about this. Common Cause is working on this because it's actually a really, really important issue about gerrymandering and what we can do about
it.
Because it is not democracy. It really is. Mm-hmm. It really isn't. We talked to Adam Schiff about it yesterday.
That's right.
The congressman that sounds exactly like William Shatner.
Not
William
really.
Shatner doing smooth jazz.
Right.
Yeah.
Smooth jazz.
Charlie in Vermont. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Charlie.
Hello there.
Hello.
I heard you mention about these death panels, and I don't know whether you realize what the Arizona legislature did either last year or the year before. They voted not to fund transplants for the elderly.
Hey.
There were 80-some-odd people on that list. I don't know the reasons for it, but two of them passed away.
Wow.
So when the Republicans start talking about death panels, I'd go right to John McCain's home state and rip them a new one.
Yep. All right. And that also would not
Which
be covered.
Right.
Right. No, that is covered.
There's plenty of reasons to rip Arizona a new one. Seriously.
Millie in Florida. Hello, Millie.
Hi, Steph and the Moogs. You make my day. You make me laugh so hard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have to say I'm grateful to Rick Scott for one reason.
What's that?
I was diagnosed with a tumor in my jaw, and it's life-threatening, and I have to go through three different surgeries, and I do not have any health insurance. So I was just recently denied my surgery. So Obamacare is actually my only hope. And when I heard, I'm sorry, I get a little bit emotional about it.
Oh, that's okay.
When I heard that he changed his mind, it just made my day. So hopefully I'll be able to get my surgeries and listen to you all the time.
Oh, thank you, honey. I hope so, too. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck. Wow. Yeah. There's real human consequences to this stuff. So at the end of the day, who cares why he did the right thing? He did the right thing. Bill in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. I'm calling about their sequestration.
Yes.
I believe that the Democrats were snookered by the Republicans. I mean, really, what's the downside for the Republicans?
Bill, if you look at the polls, there's a big downside, you know, as to who's going to get blamed.
I know, but the Dems give up, you know, a lot of programs, a lot of jobs are going to be lost. The Republicans, they act like they care about the military, but really they don't. You listen to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is they don't really care. So they've been trying to stop Obama's job creation for 4 years without success. Now they've got that one chance to stop his advance.
Yeah, yeah.
Why the Democrats didn't see this coming is a mystery.
Well, yeah. Why we ever think the Republicans
are
going to...
The good news, the polls are on our side. People are blaming the Republicans.
Yeah, they're hip to
and
it.
And rightly so.
Yeah, exactly.
I got pretty much everything I wanted. I'm very happy. Mostly because of
the President Quester.
Well, bourbon makes him happy.
Arnold in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Arnold.
Hey, Steph, I had to call about the Pied Piper, Ted Nugent going to get us black people to follow him to the Republican Party.
He got to realize that
both black people got tattoos behind their eyelids. I would rather slide down a 50-foot razor blade into a cool tub of alcohol before I ever vote Republican.
All right.
Ow. Yes, that's his point. Ow.
I'm going to get some hydrogen peroxide just for having listened to that. All right, that's it for us today. Don't forget, Sexy Liberal, Chicago, April 13th. Tickets almost gone. Go get them. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums, Jackie Courtney, the whole gang at Current. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.